Romero, coming to you from Casa de Mondo Zaskia in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for joining me. Start off with a quote from Abraham Lincoln. Labor is prior to and independent of capital. Capital is only the fruit of labor and could never existed if labor had not first existed. Labor is superior to capital and deserves much the higher consideration. Great quote by Lincoln. You know, Lincoln had a lot of letters with Marx. Well, I should say a lot. He had letters with Marx back when he was president. Lincoln was a pro-labor guy. He was a progressive Republican before the Republican Party got tainted by the old Dixiecrats. And that's what's really wrong with a lot of the Republican Party. It got tainted by Dixiecrats after the civil rights movement came. And those guys all moved, all of them almost moved to the Republican Party and tainted the party. Before that, the party had been a little bit more moderate and had a tendency to get progressive. There were still some Ike guys left around. And so today we have a Republican Party that basically should be gone. It should be gone. It shouldn't even exist. Maybe we need a moderate party. I don't know. I'm not against having other parties. I think they can be helpful. However, we have a two-party system, which doesn't lend itself to a parliamentary type of party system, where you can have several parties and they can form coalitions after elections, and one party with its coalition can dominate like it does in Europe. Now, our quote, democracy, unquote, the shot heard round the world in 1776, had a lot of good repercussions outside of the United States. Here, we've been fighting a battle against the oligarchs for a long time. They come and they go, and now they've come and they've stayed. So that's our problem, and they're the enemy of workers. And, you know, of course, a lot of people want to say, oh, we're headed towards communism and socialism. And blah, blah, blah. Okay, quit crying. Quit crying. If it wasn't for the labor movement, and you guys won't like this, a lot of you, and the Communist Party, the American Communist Party, and the socialist parties, like the Wobblies, and, of course, the labor unions, if it wasn't for them, FDR would not have been pushed to do what he did to solve what was going on during Depression. Now, there's people on the right that argue that he made things worse by doing what he did, and they're anarcho-capitalists or they're capitalists of some sort. I don't even like to go into all their different titles and labels, because in the end they're capitalists, they're greedy, and they actually make their money based on exploitation. And some of them, they claim that that's not what their aim is. Of course it isn't, but they'll do anything to get what they want. They're very Machiavellian in that respect. However, and labor used to be a good percentage of the workforce in America. Now it's like 3%, 6%, something. It's growing again. It needs to keep growing, and it needs to grow leaps and bounds. And the corporations that fight it need to be fought tooth and nail directly. And I don't mean with violence. I mean with peaceful means, with legitimate legislative means. They need to be fought tooth and nail. Now, there were frameworks in our legal system to fight these guys. One of the guys I love to read is Tom Hartman. He's got a lot on this. You know, you can read several. He puts out books all the time, and several of his books deal with all of this in great detail. I don't want to go into that detail. Today, the majority of this podcast is about the latest news and how these capitalists are failing. Number one, first and foremost, Trump got hit with an $83 million libel judgment in court in the E. Jean Carroll defamation case. Beautiful. That's win number one. Others are coming. Letitia James case in the state of New York for all that fraud that the Trumpers were committing okay, which it's already been decided they're liable. So it's just a matter of what the judge decides they're going to have to pay. So let's hope it's $500 million. Because when he tries to post that bond, it might be a little difficult. He's going to have to sell something. Going to have to sell some properties to get that kind of money. Going to have to come up with 85 or 83.5 million for this latest judgment in the Carroll case. Well, this should really, really hit him between the eyes. And when he goes to appeal on the Carroll case, probably what the legal analysts are saying, and of course, this isn't all of them. This is the ones I listen to, so it has a bias in it. They're saying that he's going to get knocked in the head and that that appeal is going to get thrown out. And this ridiculous excuse for a lawyer that he has, I'm not even going to name her. Just ridiculous. She's ridiculous. She actually confounded his case and eliminated any chances of him getting a trial in the New York case, one, and two, in the Carroll case. I mean, letting Trump spew his BS about the Carroll case, all he did was add to the defamatory remarks. He didn't do anything. He was not there for the initial trial. He was, of course, that was advice of counsel, told him not to be there is what he's saying, and maybe it was. I think that was Joe Tacopina, who actually, if you compare judgments, the judgment there was $5 million. So Tacopina did about $65 million, well, $66, $67 million better than Haba, or whatever her name is, Hababa. Anyway, that case kind of set the tone because he lost. Now number two is coming. He lost, Carroll. Number three is coming. The case that he's been found liable in New York, the Letitia James AG case that's in the judgment phase. Now the judge is going to decide how much he's got to pay. Now he has to post bond in both of those cases. So he's going to have to post a bond in the Carroll case at $83.5 million. And in the other case, in the fraud or whatever you want to call it case, he's going to have to post whatever Engoron decides on. That's New York law. It's great. It's great. A lot of us have been putting our intentions out to get rid of Trump. We want Trump crushed. We want him out of the way. He is against what the American people want. Now, numerous podcasters have come out with these statements. Look, Trump is anti-labor. Trump is anti-women. Trump is anti-immigrant. He's anti. He should be called anti-free, anti-freedom. He is not for freedom. He does not represent what the vast majority of the American people want. Okay, he does not. He said he was going to get a health care program for us. He didn't. He never came up with it. He said he was going to get an infrastructure bill passed. He didn't come up with a bill. It didn't get passed. McConnell poo-pooed him because they had the Senate majority then. So what the Republicans have done is they've stymied any progress, any good fortune that the American people would have. 90% of what they've done, which is very little what they've done, has stymied the progress. And Trump wants to fix everything himself. He doesn't want the people to get what they need, regardless of what party, what tribe is in power. And that's the problem. Trump wants to be the fixer. I am the one that can fix everything. You know, and he's not even a good authoritarian. He actually pales in comparison to those authoritarians around the world in their power structures. And I find it very skeptical, and I might be wrong, that he could even become a dictator. I don't think the legal processes would allow it. And even if he got elected this time, the Democrats are going to sweep the House. They're also going to maintain or maybe increase what they have in the Senate. So he'd be done. He might get impeached for a third time. He might face the 14th Amendment and get removed from office, or the 25th Amendment and get removed from office because he's crazy. Okay. And when you listen to what he's been saying, there's a wild stream of consciousness, almost drunken ramblings. Now, one pundit pointed out today, he might be on Adderall. Well, you know, it was reported in the past, and we don't know that these are exactly true, that he was an Adderall guy, that he was actually smashing it up into a powder and snorting it. That's what we know. And he's kind of acting like an amphetamine toxic dunderhead. He's kind of acting like, what we used to call a dingy speed freak. That's what he's acting like. So good. The good news is he's gotten stung. He's going to get stung some more. We're not even talking about the felonies yet. The felonies are going to really screw him up. Now, the good thing is that Chutkan has got his number. Jack Smith's got his number. What's her name? What's that judge's name down in Florida in that Southern District down there? She's a bozo. She should not even be a judge. In fact, if we had a good majority in the Senate, we could impeach her and get rid of her, because she's not a good judge. She's not up on it. She's not an impartial judge. She's a Trump supporter. So she has to go. And let's see if she actually attempts to be a judge. So what we're looking at here is a possible, it's a negative win. I guess you could say it's negative. But once again, let me point out something here. Positive and negative have become relativistic. They're relative terms. What's positive for me might not be positive for you. What's negative for you might not be negative for me. So these are very relativistic terms. And that's why I don't like to use them. So what I'm looking at is desirable outcomes. And a desirable outcome is that Trump is gone. I don't care what it is. If he's in jail, if he's broke, if he has to sell Mar-a-Lago, which he may have to do, I don't care. I want him gone. And so do a lot of other people want him gone. Even his own supporters, a fair percentage of them, from what we've been seeing in these interviews and these, you know, these polls and stuff. And people are deserting him. People that were two-time Trump voters have deserted him and won't vote for him. People that were one-time Trump voter deserted him and voted for Biden. So that's what's going on. And that is a desirable outcome. We want him gone. Now, if you're a magical practitioner, find the folks that have been casting enchantments against Trump, get on board, get in the boat, get on the bandwagon. Let's increase that energy and that intention, and let's get that booger out. Let's get him gone. Let's get him gone. I don't care if he's in jail or if he's just out of the picture, period. That's what we need. Trump needs to be gone. And I'll say it again. Trump needs to be gone. Okay, second thing. And I'm a wrestling fan, so this is a kind of a different subject. We're talking about WWE. Now, over the years, I stopped watching wrestling because, to me, it was fake. Well, I wasn't looking at the reality. Wrestling is staged. And in the case of WWE, it's sports entertainment. So it's all staged for entertainment value. And the storylines are, I think, twisted to engage the audience. And that's what they've done. Oh, my gosh. They've been very successful. Of course, now, in the old days, they used to get millions and millions of viewers. You know, when they were on, I think it was NBC they were on major networks, and they got millions of viewers. They don't get that many, comparatively speaking, these days. You know, they used to get, you know, there's some big numbers. Now they get a couple million on the best shows. Hey, nobody's going to fault that. Now, I'm not going to compare them to AEW, which is my favorite promotion, because I like the style of what they're doing, and it's less sports entertainment and more sports value, okay? It's less entertainment from storylines and so forth, and more sports value. So I'm not, you know, comparing the two. They're really different entities, and AEW is only 4 years old. WWE used to be WWF before. It's 60 years old, really, you know. I mean, they're celebrating the 40th WrestleMania this year, which is their largest event. Now, okay, so they had a big deal. You know, they were talking to all the streaming networks and all the networks to try to get a deal for Monday Night Raw. They already got a deal for their Friday show, which is SmackDown. So that's going to remain on USA. So they were hunting for a deal for Monday Night Raw. Well, they got a deal. They got a $5 billion deal with Netflix. Now, I've got to laud that from a business standpoint. I'm sort of a business person. even though I'm pretty much a democratic socialist, I think that was a good big deal. That was a good deal. It was a big deal. And, kudos on them for getting it. So what happens a few days after that? Okay, so Vince McMahon, he's kind of been gone. He came back. You know, he's a scumbag, you know, according to what other people have said. I mean, he was one of those guys that you love and hate. I had more hate for him than love for him. I have to kudo his success because he brought what he does, sports entertainment, i.e. Sort of professional wrestling, to a completely new level. He made it mainstream America. And yeah, you know what? I have to applaud that. Now, what I don't applaud, what I deplore about the man, he's been a Trump guy all along. And then when Trump got, you know, in the negative, the not so positive, or the less than desired outcome is a better way to phrase this. When Trump got into that category, he was gone. He was gone out of WWE. Well, then what happens? Scumbag Dana White. Now, see, what happened recently in the last year is that WWE merged with the UFC, and they completely formed a new entity called TKO, which is on the stock exchange. And that was a great thing for them business-wise, but to me, it's just another monopoly that feeds into the overall entertainment oligarchy that exists in this country. So I, you know, from a business standpoint, you got to say, hey, you know, that's successful. So then what comes out before that happened, all these scandals come out, you know, with his payoffs to women that he supposedly, and I'd say supposedly because he hadn't been convicted in a court of law, supposedly forced into sexual relationships. And so there was these payoffs. Well, the one lady that he had a payoff with, he was supposed to give her $3 million. He only gave her $1 million. And after a certain amount of time, that killed the NDA that they had, the non-disclosure agreement. Oh, boy, do I know about those. I've been dealing with those in business for 30 years or more, actually more than 30 years. At any rate, that's what happened. And so she comes out because he didn't pay her the other $2 million. He paid her $1 million and kind of left it on the table. Well, that was pretty dumb, Vince. For the smartest guy in this business, you turned out to be a real dummy in this. All he had to do was pay her the other $2 million, whether you agree with it or not. And just from a straight up mob boss business standpoint, okay, that would have been the thing to do. She would have kept her mouth shut, probably. Maybe give her a couple of extra million, you know, to kind of sew those lips shut. Well, he didn't do it. So she got him. Yeah. And so it's a big scandal. He's going to fight it. TKO is kind of going to support him, but not. And now what most of us have been hoping for a long time, Vince McMahon is gone from WWE. He's gone from TKO. He resigned from both. And he's going to fight this woman that is alleging all the stuff that he did, sex trafficking and all kinds of just really heinous sexual misconduct that he engaged in. And I don't really care about those details other than the woman, you know, what was done to her. Now, of course, she allowed some of that. However, when you're coerced like she was, like, you're not going to make the money with us. We're going to fire you unless you do this. And you're already, you know, the woman was, I guess, from what they say, this woman was already in a weakened psychological, emotional position. So it was possible to coerce her into this. And we don't know this. This hasn't been proven in a court of law, but we do know the payoffs were made for her to keep her mouth shut. And there's other women as well. And Brock Lesnar got pulled into this, supposedly, by inference. You know, and of course, they took him off of any appearances that he might have with the company. Slim Jim, a longtime sponsor of WWE, WWF, and before that, WCW, they pulled. Now, it might be just a temporary pull, but they pulled from WWE as a sponsor. So they're not sponsoring them for this weekend's premium live event or pay-per-view, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to watch it because I enjoy the wrestling, and the stories are pretty good. They're pretty good for me. They're too PG. I want something that's on a bad day PG-13 and R rated on a good day. Sorry, folks. I know that's going to cut a lot of people out of there that are less than 18 years old, but I'm fine with that because let's go this route. What happens in the sport is a lot of violence. People get injured. It's very injurious. It's not really suitable for a younger audience, especially for younger kids, in my opinion. It's teaching them that violence is an acceptable way to do things. Now, I enjoy violence because when I was younger, I was a violent individual. However, I have exited being violent. I'm not a violent person anymore, thankfully, because what does violence do? It gets you in jail. And one thing I don't like, and I've been there a few times, I've been arrested quite a few times, but not for a long, long time. What it does, it gets you in jail. And there's one thing that was a deterrent for me. So that's why that's a big deterrent for me. The other deterrent is I don't feel good after the violence. Oh, yeah. So you can get in a battle with somebody. You can beat the crap out of them. You can stand over them, maybe even spit on them or pee on them or something like that. That doesn't do anything for me that anymore. That dominance doesn't, because it's temporary, because the person may try to get back at you. If they have any of that in them, if they're vengeful in any way, they'll try to get back at you. So what have you done? You've done an act of violence, which begets another act of violence. No, not acceptable. And so that's the problem with wrestling, to close this loop for you. Problem with wrestling is it's violent. Okay. And it actually promotes violence. Now, a lot of these people that go to these matches, they're kind of right-wingish, kind of violent-leaning individuals. I mean, they love it. They love to see it. It's just like in football. A lot of people love the tribalism of football, whether it's pro football, high school football, college football. They love the tribalism. And then when a player that they don't like gets hurt, some of the people are cheering away. Other people are like, oh, no, he got hurt. That's really sad. And that's and a lot of the people that watch wrestling when that happens, because, you know, Seth Rollins, he's one of the few guys in WWE that I really like, that I like to watch. I really like his shtick, you know, and I'm not an entertainment oriented guy in that, but it does entertain me. I mean, on a 10 scale, it's about a 5 for me, whereas what I see wrestling wise is less than 5. And then there's other promotions that are way above 5 for me. WWE is not in there. WWE is sports entertainment. And so that's what it is. And people like it because it has a general appeal to the masses, but it's PG. And I'm telling you, I don't like PG. Once in a while, I watch a PG show and it's okay, but mostly I don't even like PG-13. Some, you know, that's a 50-50. Some of them are great. Others of them really suck. Okay. So I'm a PG 13 guy half the time. I'm an R-rated guy almost all the time. And beyond that, you know, NC-17 all the time. I am. That's what I like. But that's for me. That's for me to keep close to my vest. And I work hard not to let that taint my perspective on life. Work very hard. Even though I may enjoy some of these horror movies or slasher movies that I watch, they're not up there with my entertainment in that type of fiction. My favorite fiction like that are monster movies. I mean, come on, when you see a couple of kaiju fighting it out like Kong and Godzilla and all those monsters, I love that stuff. It's very entertaining for me. And that's kind of where WWE is kind of like a bad Godzilla movie, in my opinion. I mean, the guys in suits were back in the old days of Godzilla, there were guys in suits. That was probably, I actually liked it because it was fun, you know, and it was more like wrestling. And then, and that's what kind of changed my mind about wrestling, because it is staged in some of the other promotions like AEW and TNA. The wrestlers get more involved in creating their matches. So the matches have more of an entertaining sports value, not sports entertainment, but an entertaining sports value with the wrestling and the moves and everything else that they do. It's more oriented that way than the sports entertainment. So that's why I like it, because, you know, it's, for me, it's more like the kaiju. I mean, sorry, of course, we a lot of us really like that one kaiju movie with the robots, you know, Pacific Rim. A lot of us really, who are kaiju fans, we love that movie because that was like ultra violence against monsters with guys in robots. And that was a great movie. I loved it. The second one I liked also, but it was a few degrees less, you know, as far as audiences went. Anyway, back to this. The big win here is Vince is gone. Vince is gone. Vince is gone. Vince is gone. And I'm glad that Vince is gone. I wanted Vince gone way back when this all started. As Vince needs to do next, because he's resigned, you know, from TKO, he's resigned from WWE. Now he needs to sell all of his stock and completely divest himself of the enterprise. That's going to help WWE. And they could be in jeopardy to lose their Netflix deal, which could be, they would pick up something else. However, that's a big blow because, you know, they're getting anywhere from 275 to 500 million a year for their deal. I don't know what the gory details are on the money. However, it's a big deal if they can keep it. And it gives them international exposure like they've never, ever had. And so that's why it's a good deal from a business standpoint. You know, no, but I'll say they're trying to be a monopoly. They've tried to be a monopoly, and they're just feeding into the whole oligarchic mess that we have in this country. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care if WWE still exists or not. I really don't. I would like to see them replaced by a better version. Maybe Triple H and Nick Khan and all those guys that are running the show now could do that. But the next guy that needs to go is Dana White. Dana White is a Trump-sucking bastard. He loves Trump. And let me tell you, this guy needs to go. He needs to go. I know he's done great things for UFC. He has. But I don't care. I don't care. He is an ideological scumbag. He's a tyrant. He needs to be out of the organization as well. And they're not. That's not coming soon. But we're going to get on him. The magicians are going to get on him, and we're going to get rid of him too, because he actually has kind of stymied UFC in a way. And we could argue the business. There's people that argue the business logistics of all of that, and I'm not one of them. But I want to see him gone too. Well, that's a big win. Okay, number three. The Republicans in the House of Representatives have beat themselves out on the whole Joe Biden impeachment deal. They're looking more and more like a bunch of buffoons. However, the problem here is only 17%, according to, you know, a lot of polls, of people approve of the government. That's right. And the House is way down there. I think they might even be below that because of the shenanigans that go on there. And most of these shenanigans occur on the GOP side, although they've been successfully able to color that as being the fault of Democrats. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not this pro-Democrat guy, but I'm a totally anti, we need to destroy the GOP guy, okay? And by destroy, I mean nonviolently. I mean by peaceful legislative means if possible and at the ballot box. They need to be deposed. They need to reinvent their party and their motives. And they need to be on the side of the American people like the old moderate Republicans used to be in part. They're not. They got taken over by the Dixiecrats, and then they came in the Tea Party, and now they got the Freedom Caucus, and they got maggots. They're like a dead carcass, a dead political carcass that's infected with MAGA-its. And that's a big problem. Look at some of these idiots that spew on them. I'm not going to go into their names, but you know who they are if you watch any of this. Now, most people are fed up. Here's the problem. Most people are fed up with politics. They don't even want to engage in it. And I don't blame them because it's, you know, on that level, it's this big battle and it doesn't seem to go anywhere. However, it has gone somewhere. Look at what the Democratic House of Representatives did. Look at the bills that Biden gave to them that they got pushed through, and it got taken in by the Senate. It wasn't a lot, but it was enough. And now we need more. And what the people want a universal health care system, like we, well, not like, but better than we have in Medicare. Medicare needs to get better. Okay. The drug price thing for most people needs to get better. Now, look, I got a great drug plan. It's a supplemental plan, but it's run by capitalism. And the company that's doing it is sucking money from Medicare. Okay. But I mean, I pay nothing for most of my prescriptions. I mean, I have a deductible. And once it gets met, I don't pay. Gosh, I mean, I had to pay a copay the other day for 3 prescriptions. That was a total of $6. Now, that's what everybody in America needs. Now, if you're on like a PPO, or if you're on one of those better insurance programs, of which there's hardly any anymore for people that are not on Medicare, you're going to get treatment like that, like the old HMOs. I mean, I used to have an HMO where I paid $5 for a prescription, where office visits were $10. You know that, and I was making good money, so that was nothing. And that was the way it should have been for everyone. Well, it's not. Nowadays, there's very high deductibles. There's a lot of coverage that doesn't exist anymore. And let's face it, the health insurance companies, they need to go. That's the next bunch of thieves and oligarchs that need to go. And this all needs to be, I'm sorry, folks, it needs to be federally and state run. It does. I mean, we have the framework. We have a basic infrastructure there that needs to keep improving to the point where we can load all the rest on. And if we do that, we're going to have a good system. It could be the best in the world. And we're not the best in the world. We're far from it. Our individual costs for health insurance are among the highest in the world. Okay, and so that needs to go away. That needs to go away. So, and Medicare, if it was expanded properly, could take care of that. And there's a lot of problems with that. There's a lot of infrastructure problems that have to be solved. And I think I hope that if these infrastructure problems can get solved, and that can be done by acts of Congress, that can be ready to take it on to abolish the health insurance companies, except for supplemental insurance that people want to buy on their own. That can be done away with. So the employer doesn't have to offer that. The employer could take the Medicare or the universal health care insurance money out of everybody's paycheck. That goes in, boom, done. That's what needs to be done, in my opinion. That's what the people want. The people also, they want the infrastructure kicked in really hard. Now, we got a nice bill, but, you know, whenever you got private contractors involved, and I've been dealing with private contractors for 50 years, I'll tell you this, there's some good ones and there's a lot of bad ones. And the bad ones are ripoffs. And then you have all these cost overruns. And you have, you know, like when you land a contract, and if you're a low bidder, well, inevitably, there's going to be cost overruns because you didn't bid it properly. Number one, you didn't bid it with the profit that you deserve. I used to do that kind of work. Number two, all you're in it for the profit. And this stuff should not be profitable. It should be break even, right? Well, private companies don't want to do that. I understand. They're in business to make profit. Well, it needs to be nonprofit all the way. You know, we used to have a U.S. Highway Department, which helped build, you know, the highways during Eisenhower. We used to have infrastructure somewhat like that. It wasn't the best. It could have been better. And then we had the work programs that FDR put in, and those helped quite a bit. They built all the dams that we have on our water system here. It's called the Salt River Project, and they built all those dams. And for a long time, the hydroelectric power was pretty good. It really fed into what we needed. But then the developers came in. They called them boosters. The only thing they boosted was their own profit margin. They came in and they basically ruined our state, okay? Because they've turned it into this commoditized housing BS. You know, real estate, you know, as a premium, build housing, sell the housing for profit, blah blah blah. No. No, housing should not be commoditized. It should only be like that on a very, very high expensive level, like, you know, the $1 million, multi-million dollar estates and houses. Outside of that, what the rest of us need is we need fair-priced housing. Housing needs to be available for all. That goes back to what FDR was not able to push through, which was the People's Economic Bill of Rights. We need that in a newer form and state. I think Biden might even want to do something like that. I think he could be talked into that. Okay. And lastly, Democrats, you guys need to keep pushing on what Biden has done. And every time the Republicans bring up their nonsense on the border, okay, the border hasn't been a win, actually, since Bush. Because what they did, now Bush was pretty bad. He deported a lot of people. He was pretty bad. But before that, you had Reagan. Now, Reagan gave amnesty to 3 million immigrants, okay? And that's what we need to get. We need a general amnesty. They need to pass that border bill. They need to get as many judges as they need. I don't care if it's 5,000 judges, immigration judges. They need, and they need staff along with them. And we need to work with these people. We need to get them in, train. Because look, a lot of Americans, they want to stay like the coal miners. Let's look at the coal miners for a minute, and then we'll close this loop. Say, coal miners, you know, they came in, they said, look, we're going to teach you guys how to put up windmills, wind energy. We're going to teach you all this new stuff and retrain you. And then when you don't have work at the coal mine anymore, because they're all going to go, then you can do this. Most of them didn't want to do that. Yeah. They bitched and complained. They didn't want to do it. And then you had, I don't know who, boy, this is really bad. Then you had the petroleum workers, the people in the petroleum. Same thing. Oh, no, I want to do what I do. I don't want to change. Well, you know what? I didn't want to change. I've had to change a lot in my life. And because I did change, I went from being living at the poverty level to being in the top 10%. Now, I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying that I was able to do that because I would change. And there's even more examples than myself, many greater examples than myself for that. And the thing with it is, it's about creating your own happiness. And if you have an intention which helps extend, or it helps increase your internal happiness, and that's something that you do to put beans on the table, so to speak, then that's what you need to follow. You need to do that. Yeah, I recommend that you do that. And, it might mean that you have to downsize. It might mean that, you know, you cut your bills down in half. But if you do that, many people have done this, and they're happy with what they're doing. And that's what we need. We need to be happy with what we're doing. And that's a big win. And at the end, what we're going to say here is folks who don't want to change are going to get lost in the shuffle. And this is why people think they need this strong leader thing. And a strong leader thing needs to get beat down because we do things in groups. For instance, the oligarchy, which really runs the economy of the country, the oligarchy that's out there composed of, you know, separate monopolies and oligarchies that have kind of had this loose coalition based on the economics of this system, that's what they have done. They are not one guy. They are several people on boards and members of other boards. And it's this big Venn diagram of how they operate. And it's pretty disturbing once you know what's going on. Well, people don't know, because what does the average person want? You want to go to work every day. You want to make your check. You want to have fun with your family. You want to get entertained. You want to pay your bills. That's what most people want to do. And unfortunately, getting completely distracted by that gets rid of, in many cases, the responsibility. We have a responsibility to our fellow citizens and ourselves to have some kind of active participation in our government. And that, you know, it's our government. That's why I hate the government. Well, yeah, whose government is this supposed to be? Well, let's face it. The businesses kind of run the majority of it. We can change that. And that's the next big win that we need. You know, we need more businesses that are worker owned. And that'll help quite a bit. And they have to be based on successful models. And that there's a lot of work that goes into it. However, it does work, and it would work really well. I'm not saying every business needs to be that way. They don't. We need more of them, and a lot more people will be happier what they're doing. Prince, can you see working in a business where your salary share and a job that would normally be $40,000 a year is now $100,000 a year? Huh? Could you see that working for you? That can happen. And it does happen in some of these businesses. So that's another win. And the big problem there is, you know, like it was said, you know, tell the workers, control the means of production, you don't have an equitable system. It's not a democracy. And that's the problem in this country. There's no democracy in the workplace. So people are ingrained, naturally ingrained with, I need the big guy to control things. I need the big boss to take care of everything. And then I can just do my job, make my money, and go home and do my deal. And I don't blame people, but it's irresponsible, actually. And I'm calling you irresponsible. I'm just saying it's irresponsible. And that's a state. So it's a state of irresponsibility when it comes to your personal milieu. Now, we can change that. If you don't have democracy in the workplace, you could be in a bad situation. Okay, so there's benevolent rulers in the marketplace. Okay, not very many. Not very many folks. We need to change that. Just like we're working on changing everything else. My voice is starting to go. Doggone allergies kicked in. There's a lot of mold spores in the air here because we had rain. And that's what happens here in the desert. At any rate, Mondo at my house here, Casa de Mondo, Zaskia, Phoenix, Arizona, signing off for today. Have a great day. And I hope that you manifest your intentions to benefit you the most.